Joining us on the line right now is David Drucker, senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Good day to have him on board because we got a lot of stuff going on in this town that Capitol Hill has a piece of. And it's good to know where we are as we head into inaugural week and Friday's swearing in of Donald Trump as president of the United States. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
All right. So let's talk about number one. Let's talk about confirmation. Because I would venture to say, and I'd like to know if you agree or disagree, that so far it's gone, I think, a lot better than most people expected it would go as far as these confirmation hearings are concerned. And we still got a few more that are outstanding, but let's look at the ones that we've had so far and how they stand. The two most prominent ones, I think, are probably Jeff Sessions and Rex Tillerson for state.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Look, I didn't actually expect too much of an issue with confirmations. I mean, you have a majority Republican Senate. They want to get him his team, and Donald Trump actually nominated pretty run-of-the-mill Republicans in terms of their philosophy and outlook for a lot of these key positions. Some are different, or, you know, they seem like outliers. Somebody like Rex Tillerson, who doesn't have government experience. But most have, you know, been involved in a political process in some fashion, whether as campaign donors or members of the Republican National Committee platform committee at the convention, and so they really weren't the unknowns that a lot of people think. And I think really Tillerson's the only one that's going to take a little work on the president-elect's part to, you know, get him across the finish line. I think most of them will sail through. And usually, and you guys will remember this, usually what upends a cabinet appointee or nominee is not some big political problem that, you know, everybody talks about, but we find out, you know, they didn't pay taxes one year. They were paying, you know, somebody to work on their house under the table. Like, you know, things like that that were missed in the vetting that end up causing a problem, and then they end up dropping out. So that, you know, that on top of everything else is what usually trips up the nominees, not these larger issues that everybody talks about.
Now, Marco Rubio, as far as I know, has not yet made a decision about whether or not he would back Rex Tillerson, which is the key here. And there's some question, will Marco Rubio be able to, if he decides to oppose Rex Tillerson, will he'll be able to get two other senators, perhaps Lindsey Graham and John McCain, to help oppose him? Do you see any risk of that happening, or is it likely that Tillerson's going to make it through?
Well, I don't want to rule it out. And don't forget, you know, once the inauguration happens on Friday, Republicans are going to have the tiebreaker in the Senate. So they can lose two Republicans. Maybe they gain, you know, Joe Manchin and maybe somebody else.
Right.
And it works out. I still tend to think he gets confirmed. I mean, I know that he, you know, rubbed Senator Rubio the wrong way. And from Rubio's point of view on matters of foreign policy that are important to him, I understand why. I don't think yet anything he said is so out of bounds that he's in jeopardy. I just, you know, I think they're going to have to work on it a little harder.
All right. Looking forward to this week, we have some more confirmation hearings scheduled.
Yes. You know, look, and I think that most of these are going to not be too much of a problem. And I think we're going to be dealing with Betsy DeVos in education. And that's the one I'm thinking of. I think
Andy Puzder for labor, Nikki Haley for UN Puzder. Ambassador. And then on the 18th, this one could be interesting, Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt for EPA.
Yeah, the truth is the only one that I see having a potential problem is Puzder, just because of the reports of, you know, his personal life in relation to his ex-wife or something like that. Again, those are the kind of things that upend cabinet nominees. But if there's nothing else there, if that doesn't become an issue, you know, the fact that he opposes the minimum wage and tried to maximize profits at you know, Carl's Jr., the Hardee's company, CKE Enterprises, the parent company, well, that's what Republicans tend to believe in. So I don't see a problem with too many of these people. And Pruitt's views on the environment and energy regulations are in line with traditional standard Republican policy and thought. I don't see how he has a problem. DeVos supporting charter schools, well, that's a big Republican priority. So, again, you know, the interesting thing is the outlier in the White House in terms of Republican thought on some issues is the president, the soon-to-be president. All the people that he's hired for these positions, if anything, where there's daylight, it's because they're more with the Republican Party. And, of course, it's the Republican voters the Republican senators who hold these same views that are going to be voting to confirm these people.
You know, last year during the State of the Union, the response was given by the Republican Nikki Haley, who's going to be considered for UN ambassador. And in so doing, she attacked Donald Trump pretty explicitly during that State of the Union response. But now, of course, Donald Trump, it seems they've mended things. Trump has, of course, nominated her to be the head of the UN ambassador. Do you see those comments or her comments about Trump coming up in the hearings this week?
Oh, I'm sure they will. I mean, look, we saw...
Nobody will pass up the opportunity.
Yeah, well, look, we saw with Mike Pompeo during his hearing for CIA director, you know, they brought up a tweet he had made about WikiLeaks and whatever. So they're going to bring all this stuff up. It really doesn't matter. I mean, her points of view on Republican foreign policy are more reassuring to Republican senators than her soon-to-be boss. And she's, you know, she knows how to conduct herself. She's a very accomplished politician, so no problems there.
Donald Trump has let it be known in his interview with the Washington Post over the weekend that they've got a plan that will give, quote-unquote, insurance for everybody. And he says there was a philosophy in some circles that if you can't pay for it, you don't get it. That's not going to happen with us. He says you can expect to have great health care in a simplified form, much less expensive, much better. In other words, he says they do have a plan not only to repeal but also to replace.
Well, look, they're going to have a plan one way or the other, and I think the question is, what is Donald Trump going to want? We still don't know. I mean, he talks in broad generalities, which is understandable at this point. Eventually, he'll have to weigh in on something because he's going to have to sign it. You know, I think the question is he talking sort of like President Obama when it comes to extending coverage and having something for everybody, but he will be supporting something that's more conservative politically and philosophically, or, you know, because he's not the most small government guy of all time, does he have ideas about health care that are going to be somewhere in the middle of Obama and where House Republicans are? I mean, that to me is the real interesting part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, just the very nature of the insurance system. How do you literally cover everyone while at the same time keeping costs down? I'll be interested to see how he gets there, because he claims that he's going to be able to cut costs meaningfully for people who've really borne the brunt of them.
Well, as we learned with Obamacare, there's no such thing as something for nothing. It's just a matter of how they try and sell it and what they prioritize. Republicans, obviously, as you know, have always been about ensuring access for people who want it and high quality access at the lowest possible price. The Affordable Care Act was really focused on extending coverage to people who didn't have it and who couldn't afford it. They focused on eliminating pre-existing conditions and other things, which were those few things were popular, and this is why, even though Obamacare is not, Republicans have made it clear they intend to include those items in their new plan.
Yeah, it turns out those few things are prohibitively expensive to pay for.
That's right. Well, listen, David Drucker, thank you so much for your assessment. Greatly appreciate you joining us here on this Martin Luther King Day.